I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Blake Foraker joins us. He's an assistant professor of meat science at Washington State University. His expertise lies in beef on dairy cross animals and how to improve the traits in these cattle to keep their value in the beef market. He says beef on dairy cross animals aren't new, but they haven't been this popular until fairly recent.
So, I mean, I think for decades, producers have... You know, there's been some beef on dairy produced that, you know, on a very, very small scale. But really, we saw large increases in the industry about the 2018 era. And so really the shift that caused that or prompted that was the use of sex semen to strategically produce those replacement heifers on these dairies. So producers were identifying their top, maybe it was 30, 40% of cows from which they wanted to retain replacements, and then that opened up the remainder of the herd for which they could breed to beef.
Fast forward to today, you know, we're short on beef numbers. So is that driving more producers to get into this market?
So you're exactly right that the U.S. beef cow numbers are as low now as what they've ever been in the last 50 years. And so when we understand that the beef cow cycle is very cyclical. Now, that's the beauty of the dairy industry is that dairy cow numbers have been very consistent and steady for the last 20 or more years. And so as we talk about beef on dairy, it's not necessarily a replacement or an increase of the terminal calves coming from the dairy industry. Rather, it's a replacement of the consist of those calves, shifting from what was traditionally the straight-bred Holstein to now a much more terminally fit animal in terms of beef on dairy. And so as beef cow numbers decline, that consistency in supply from the dairy sector is really important to supplying beef and a consistent supply of beef moving forward here.
Moving to the dairy farm, is beef on dairy able to supplement dairy farms today?
That's exactly right. And so as we talk about dairy producers being able to capitalize on multiple streams of revenue, beef on dairy is undoubtedly one of those very lucrative streams of revenue. And so whereas previously a day-old Holstein calf might have been worth $50, we're talking in some instances here, these beef on dairy calves being worth $400, $500, sometimes $600 per animal just as a day-old. So significant increases in value just through doing a beef on dairy mating system. And that's just the day-old calf. Many producers are realizing additional value through retained ownership of those calves all the way through to the packing level.
Is that going to continue, the value in beef on dairy, or is this kind of a cyclical trend?
I think for sure the value of these beef on dairy calves is going to remain high, especially through this period of low beef cow numbers as the supplies are really tight. But I still think that value is going to sustain long term, and beef on dairy is not something that we're going to see go away just because it makes so much sense to our industry from a sustainability standpoint. The calves are more efficient in the feed yard. They're more efficient in converting pounds of resources, corn specifically, into beef. And as we get to getting that product to the packing plant and then down to the consumer on the plate, not only are there more pounds of carcass, but there's more pounds of product in that carcass. And so I think it's a sustainability and efficiency message that's just going to continue regardless of a cyclical pattern.
When the beef herd comes back, will beef on dairy still have a place in the market? Or is that where your research is coming in to make sure that beef on dairy isn't just filling a need right now, but is establishing itself as a quality product?
As the beef herd numbers do come back here in the next 5 years or so, beef on dairy will still hold a place. But what I would tell producers is that we have to fix the issues and the challenges with beef on dairy now such that when supplies aren't so tight, that they're still competitive in the marketplace. And so there certainly are some challenges with the beef on dairy population, specifically related to liver abscesses and carcass muscularity and some issues with consistency in the supply chain and how those calves are managed. And so now is as opportune of a time as ever to fix those challenges and focus on those challenges. Since beef numbers are tight and the value of those calves is still high, let's not give the packing sector or other portions of the supply chain a reason to discount those calves when beef supply does come back.
So you pointed out some of the challenges, and you said we need to solve them, but how is that going to be done?
the three biggest challenges that I view in beef on dairy are first and foremost liver abscesses. And so there's a lot of work being done specifically in this population looking at liver abscesses and the causes of it. And really, this is a broader issue in the beef population. It just seems to be a bit more exaggerated within beef on dairy. And so we certainly understand that feeding a very high concentrate diets to these beef on dairy calves is contributing to liver abscesses, the fact that these calves are on feed for so many days. But I think there's also questions around genetics, questions around other management strategies that could be influencing those liver abscesses. Secondarily, carcass muscularity is a major concern within this population. And specifically, if producers are essentially just using a beef bowl to make the calves black and not necessarily putting any strategic effort towards beef traits that might be valued in the supply chain, we can essentially come up with a black-headed Holstein. And those aren't much better than the original alternative that, 10 years ago when we were producing those straight-bred Holsteins. And so evaluating terminal sires for their merit, not only in terms of marbling, but also muscularity is going to be really important. And one of the issues in the industry, and this is the broader beef industry, is that the genetic tools that we have to do that today are not real robust. And specifically, the only one that we have that pertains to muscularity from a genetic standpoint is the ribeye area EPD. And so through my research and others, we've demonstrated that ribeye area as a metric is not a real good one in order to improve carcass conformation and muscularity. And so we've got to start thinking outside of the box and looking at things outside of yield grade. We especially know that yield grade and ribeye area are not effective in dairy cattle. They're more effective in the native beef population. So that's going to be a challenge that producers and industry and academia alike are all going to have to navigate here in the next few years. That's something that we're working on, not only for just beef on dairy, but the broader beef population. And then I think finally, the third largest opportunity here is looking at a systems-wide approach, because one of the major advantages in the dairy industry is the consistency of the cow population and the large numbers from which we're able to generate these calves. And so trying to optimize the pull-through system for large numbers of calves that optimize the beef supply chain is going to be really important, and I think ultimately going to bode well for both the beef and dairy industries moving forward.
Blake Foraker is an assistant professor from Washington State University outlining the trends in the beef on dairy cattle market. He's focused on how to improve the management and the traits of these cross animals so that they continue to bring value to producers. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.